I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Psalm number 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And the subject before us this evening is help from the sanctuary. And this psalm, written by David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is for the well-being of the Lord's people in battle, in times of trial and tribulation, in times when they are doing battle against the enemy of souls. And here also, in the context, it was a psalm that was written to encourage King David and his army in their physical battles, in their battles against the idolatrous nations around them. But more importantly, this psalm is left on record till the end of time for the blessing of the church, for the blessing of those who are walking with the Lord, and also the blessing of those who are seeking the Lord. Now, when we think of this psalm, first of all, in the context of a battle, we know there is a spiritual battle we are facing, wherein Satan, the enemy of souls, imprisons. He doesn't want the glorious light of the gospel to enter into our hearts. He doesn't want us, if we're already in the way, to progress in the way. He wants to hinder us. He wants to take away our joy, and he wants to bind us up and hinder us in the way. And the prayer here in this psalm shows us the way in which we can overcome in this great battle for the soul. Overcoming in the great battle for the soul. And it is by help from the sanctuary of God. Because this prayer, you will see, points us to Christ. It actually, this psalm, you may not have seen it first of all, but we're going to hope to show you that actually it is a prayer that is centered in Christ the Messiah. And it is for the benefit of the Lord's people throughout all ages. This prayer, as it points us to Christ, is suitable then both for seekers this evening and for those already in the way. We can all come in and take something from this psalm this evening. It is a prayer also that is ideal for the spread of the gospel, for the spiritual well-being of the church. The psalmist speaks about having a banner we must display, display in the gospel. So it is a timeless prayer, inasmuch it holds good for the church throughout all generations. But the first part of the message this evening, I want us to see the Christ-centered application. And then the second part, we will see how the psalm teaches us about the nature of faith and the battle. And also, finally, we see the cry and the answer and the song of the needy looking to Jesus Christ. So first of all, friends, we're going to see, I hope, by faith, Jesus Christ. Verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Now, the days of Christ were predominantly, actually, days of trouble, particularly in his ministry. He was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. He was persecuted, actually, by Herod in his infancy. They sought his life. He had to run. Well, he didn't physically, but he was carried away by Joseph and Mary, his mother. He was troubled as a migrant by an unsettled early childhood. He had to flee. He was troubled by temptation of Satan in the wilderness. He was troubled because of the harassment of the Pharisees and the scribes constantly. He was troubled by being attacked physically, verbally, emotionally, spiritually. He was troubled because of the attitude sometimes of his disciples. They seem to miss the point so often. Sometimes they argued amongst each other. Once they were arguing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. At other times, his soul, our spirit, is said to be troubled. Troubled by death. As at the grave of Lazarus. Also, when he was about to acquaint his disciples that one of them should betray him, he was troubled in his soul. He was troubled in the Garden of Gethsemane. Heavy, sore amazed, his sweat was as great drops of blood falling on the ground. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He was troubled, of course, when he bore all the sins of his people on Calvary's cross. When he endured the wrath of the Father, forsaken by him, crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So friends, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. And when we think of our trouble, and then we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of his trouble, we can look to him knowing that he is one that does know and understand trouble. But in these times of trouble, you will notice if you look at the testimony of the Lord Jesus, he prayed to his Father. He prayed to his Father. That was his greatest comfort. And God would hear and answer him as he did. He always heard the Lord Jesus when he prayed to his Father. He heard him at the grave of Lazarus. He heard him in the Garden of Gethsemane, filling his human soul with courage. And during all his sufferings, the perfect faith of Christ in his Father, dependent upon him, in prayer, never wavered. The life of Christ was a life of prayer. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And so, although we know the Father hid, as it were, his face from him at Calvary, he never stopped with the Spirit upholding his Son. The great plan of salvation must be fulfilled, and the triune God were involved in ensuring the great plan of salvation. And so we see the first resort for Christ as a perfect man, filled with the Holy Spirit in trouble, was prayer. And God heard him. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. God the Father heard his Son praying in times of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Now, Jacob was a man who undoubtedly experienced trouble. That is why it's referred to here as the God of Jacob. Jacob was a man that did know trouble in his life. He had to flee for his life. And yet he experienced God to be his sure defense, his secure defense. Oh, the name of the God of Jacob, the God that helped Jacob, the God that defended Jacob, the God that secured Jacob, defend thee. This is a look into this same God. Well, the only God. So God, who was faithful to Jacob, his servant, Jacob, who depended upon the grace of God, like we do, will most certainly be faithful to his Son. Now, defend here, the word defend, it's interesting. Actually, in the original, it has an even deeper meaning than defend. It actually means being set up on high, exalted. And so Christ, being defended by God the Father, rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven, exalted. The perfect meaning of being defended here. Lifted up on high, risen from the dead, ascended up into heaven. Oh, friends, this verse in Psalm 20 is pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. You see, there were times when Christ received angelic support, direct from the sanctuary in heaven. We read in Matthew 4, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him after that great time of temptation. Behold, angels came. Angels came from heaven and ministered unto him. In Gethsemane, then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Oh, send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Well, of course, Christ, when he lived a perfect life, all aspects of his life were aspects of worship to the Father. They were pure. There was perfect obedience in all aspects of his life. He offered up his life as the perfect sacrifice, perfect obedience. Countless times of evidences of obeying his Father's will, but then accept thy burnt sacrifice. Well, this of course is pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. And you know, friends, there's something very interesting here. It says here, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. The obedience of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary is remembered by God the Father. And God tells us, therefore, that he will remember our sins no more, because he can remember Calvary forever. Because God the Father can remember this sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice, and he can look to that for time and eternity. He can look to Christ, and Christ is there at his right hand, and there Christ has the evidence of Calvary upon his glorified body, and that will be for time now and eternity, forever and ever, because God the Father remembers and knows. Then our sins, he has to remember no more. He can't remember our sins and also remember Christ's death at the same time. No, when he sees us in Christ Jesus, God the Father, in a way beyond our comprehension, remembers our sins no more. Now, we remember our sins. We look back and over our life, and we still have cause for grief over our sins, but we believe that we trust that washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they will most certainly be if we look to him by faith. But in a way beyond our understanding, the God that knows all things, the infinite God, in his great love and mercy, says, I will remember your sins no more. And that's a very important principle for us in our own little way. When we look at the, perhaps we've been sinned against, and we need to encourage one another. Don't hold that. Don't keep holding it. Let's follow the example of our Lord as we look to Calvary. And so the heart of Jesus then, verse 4, what about the heart of Jesus? Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. Well, the heart of Jesus finds its fulfillment in the redemption of the church. The heart of Jesus finds its fulfillment in the redemption of the church. He will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But this wise Saviour, this knowledgeable Saviour, this wonderful Saviour, this precious Saviour, he will see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Satisfied. This is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Fulfill all thy counsel. So, now that move brings us then into how we can enter into verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Here we can enter into the salvation of God in the very person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Because if we see by faith Christ in the first part of the psalm, it helps us to rejoice by faith in his salvation. The way we rejoice in his salvation then is to remind ourselves of his mighty name. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. And in doing so, we set up banners of truth about God in our mind to encourage us in the warfare. Oh, Satan's telling me that God is unkind. Oh, the banner of truth tells me that God is good. The Satan is telling me that God's way is wrong here. Surely God can't be allowing that in your life. The banner that we put in our mind is, as for God, his way is perfect. And so we see these exercises of the soul. Satan comes, there's a battle, there's a warfare, and we put up a banner in our mind, all from the word of God, and we lift up this banner in our mind to encourage us in the warfare, the banner of truth. But then the church has an army also. It has been given banners to display because of the truth. The church is a body of people. We have a banner to display because of the truth. We are told so in Psalm 60. And we are to display the word of God. Display the word of God, that God is mighty to save. We are to preach the gospel. We are to display this banner in this world, that God is willing to save even unto the uttermost all those that come unto God by him. These are tremendous banners. These are wonderful banners. These are banners that the world cannot match with all its expertise and wisdom and power and wealth and riches and entertainment. Oh, we have banners to display that speak of the soul, that speak of eternity, that speak of being right with God, that speak blessed things. And so this brings us on to the battle, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, I do not need to go into battle with Satan, with instability in my mind. That's really unbelief. Our stability comes from the word of God, the God who doesn't lie. I know, this is what the psalmist is saying here, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Oh, friends, you say, well, how do I know? Well, there's so many cases in the word of God of the salvation of God. And there's millions of examples throughout the history of how God has saved his people from incredible situations. Day after day, night after night, God is showing his mighty power in salvation. And by faith we come this evening and say, now know I believe myself now that the Lord saveth his anointed. And he will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Oh, he hears in heaven in the person of Jesus Christ, because that's who is spoken of here. The saving strength of his right hand is Jesus Christ. And he hears us through Jesus Christ. And as we cry unto the Lord and we say by faith, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed, he will hear from his holy heaven my cry with his saving strength of his right hand. Oh, this again is pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the right hand of God's righteousness. We do not go into battle, into spiritual battle with Satan, trusting in the power of carnal methods. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Oh, friends, be so careful. If there's a move to trust in this and trust in that, and if we do it this way, this will happen. If we do it that way, this will happen. My friends, I want to tell you something about Martin Lloyd-Jones when he started his ministry there in Wales about 80 years ago now, back in the 1940s, I think, at Sandfields in Wales. And when he got to the church, there were all sorts of things going on. It was a social church. There was a club for this and a social club for that, an evening for this and an evening for that. And there was all sorts of things because, you see, in those days, the chapels were like, we might say, and I say this respectfully, they were like the local pub. In that, it was the gathering of the community. So the building was used not only for preaching on a Sunday, it was used for all sorts of things in the week. It was like, you might say, the community hall. It was like the village hall, you might say. But when he got there, he sat down with his deacons and he said, right, he said, we're going to stop all this. I looked at him, well, if you stop all this, people won't come. Oh, he said, we are. We're going to stop all this and we're going to rely on the Word and the Spirit. Oh, we're going to have outreach. We're going to have ministries to the young and to the old. And we're going to have testimony meetings. But we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to rely upon the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And the people said, well, if we don't have these social things, people won't come. But he said, no, anything we do, it has to have a message. Anything we do must be based on the Word of God. And everything we do in outreach must be based on the Word of God. And they must hear a message. And so he did this. And the Lord honored this. And by the time he left, there were 400 people going to his church. The Lord sent revival in an amazing way. And people's lives were changed in a glorious way. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. See, some people go through life dependent upon the visual, on the physical, the material, the noise, the power. But we will trust in the God who we cannot see, yet by faith we believe in. Remember his wonderful name. And verse 8, our strength to withstand and conquest is in Christ. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. How can we be raised from the pit of hell? How can we be raised from the pit of destruction? How can we be raised from this old nature and this prison of Satan? In Christ Jesus, we stand upright. Oh, we are risen and stand upright. In Christ Jesus, how can we stand before God upright? But through the precious person and work and righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, but then finally in this verse, save Lord, let the King hear us when we call. The battle cry is save us, Lord. This is the constant cry in the Christian warfare. Oh, save us, Lord. Save us, Lord. But the cry is dependent on the intercession of King Jesus. He's typified here by King David. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Let the King be encouraged when we call unto thee. But hear for us spiritually this evening, applied through the gospel. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Let King Jesus hear us and intercede for us when we call. But I want us in the final part of this message to make application here for the seeker, the needy. We're always needy. We always depend upon the Lord. But I want to look at this psalm now just particularly as the cry for the needy. And this is really the verse that has been with me all this week. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Now, there is no better source of help than that which comes from the sanctuary of God. Now, this word sanctuary here means the most holy place. It means the dwelling place of God. From this, we develop our thinking to understand that the desire here is help coming from the very heart of God, the very epicenter of the Holy of Holies, the throne of God. And if we look at this and picture this by faith in our mind, we come to the very Holy of Holies and the real, very certain, eternal Holy of Holies is the heart of God, the sanctuary of God, where God dwells. It is indeed the very being of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the heart of God. Send thee help from the sanctuary, from the very heart of God. Now we need to find out something about the heart of God then this evening. The Bible teaches us actually that the heart of God is grieved by the wickedness of man. God doesn't look upon our sin lightly. God doesn't look upon our unbelief lightly. It's not an option for us thinking, well, it's our right to be unbelievers in a sense that it's all, you know, it's just something that, like a right that we have. It's something we must grieve over and something we must cry to the Lord, send me help from the sanctuary. Oh, could I but believe? And you say, well, I can't believe, but, oh, Lord, help me to believe. Lord, give me a heart towards thee. I cry out unto thee, the living God, send me help from the sanctuary. Despite our rebellion from the heart of God by nature, there proceeds from the very heart of God promises of salvation in Christ. And so God's heart is towards his people who trust in him, who come just as they are. And God's heart is described also as being thoughtful and desires the blessing on for his people. And we read that God's heart is towards his people to teach them his word. And we'll come to that in conclusion, but he says in the book of Jeremiah, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. And what are pastors according to God's heart? They will feed you with knowledge and understanding. They will point you to Christ. They will show the truth as it is revealed in Christ Jesus. This is the very heart of God, his love. And in the Song of Solomon, we read of the heart of Christ. And we read in picture language that the Son of God is ravished, overwhelmed with love for his bride, the church. Oh, the heart of God is wonderful. The point being that seeking help from the sanctuary results in blessing for you from the very pure heart of God. The God who delights in mercy, who is described as the God of all grace and love. And in the book of Jeremiah again, as these people are encouraged to repent, we read, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is the heart of God. This is what I think toward you, the thoughts of peace and not of evil. Oh, help from the sanctuary of God means help from the triune God. All are engaged in your support. And the strength of God also comes to us through the means of grace. You will see here it says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now Zion is often referred to as the church. As you know, Mount Zion is another name here we're called. But Zion is often a word which refers to the church. And God has ordained it so that people are strengthened and blessed from the very presence of God through Zion, through the church, that is, through the ministers of the church. And that is why preaching is so important. Preaching is God's primary means of blessing, of sending you help from the sanctuary. The very heart of God is bound up in preaching. The very heart of God is bound up in His Word. And we are simply ambassadors to proclaim to you from the Word of God, the heart of God. And in the Gospel, the heart of God is merciful, it's loving, it's compassionate, it's inviting, it's calling you to come just as you are. And this is why attending the means of grace, by that we mean the services of the church, the morning and evening sacrifice, the morning and evening worship, the prayer meeting, the Bible study, the various ministers of the church, the Sunday school. This is why it's so important for us when we can to attend as much as possible the means of grace, because thereby we're saying, Lord, I submit to your way. I submit to your wisdom, that you predominantly, in your wisdom, deign to bless people through the ministry of your word, through the preaching. Well, and then we move on then as we seek help from the sanctuary, strengthen the out of Zion. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We will rejoice in thy salvation. This is where help from the sanctuary comes from. God's appointed means of deliverance then, in Christ Jesus, the heart of God. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petition. And so, trusting in Jesus, seeking help from the sanctuary, brings a response in our life. In the name of our God now, we will set up our banners. We will show whom we trust in. And setting up our banners is a reference to an army approaching the enemy. And the banners indicate unity around one cause. Like you see on the news, a demonstration, and you see people are carrying their banners. They are united around one cause. And this is like the church proclaiming the gospel. We have the gospel banner. We have the word of God, and we show our banner. This is what we believe in. This is who we trust in. And the psalmist says in Psalm 60 verse 4, I've just turned to that in conclusion, please. Psalm 60 verse 4, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Oh, we've been given a banner. We've been given a banner to display. And may we in most surely display it. And we display this banner by proclaiming the word of God. We display this banner by trusting in the word of God, by following the word of God. And then we come to this final statement I would like to look at in verse 6 again, as we make application to the seeker. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. He will hear the cry. He will hear the sigh, he will know the tears, and he will hear through his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, and receive you in him. Now I know. Here's where the certainty is. The certainty is in Christ Jesus. We will remember the name of the Lord. Our confidence is in Christ. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us. The direction is Christ. O Lord, hear us through the intercession of our King Jesus. Well, friends, there's Christ in this psalm, and there's Christ for you in this psalm. The Lord hears from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. May we go from this place this evening, singing in our hearts, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Have confidence in Christ by faith this evening.